Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Pastor Shane Budby.
Yeah, this morning's message is a standalone message on its own. It's not part of a series. It's just a standalone message of and this morning's message could have quite easily been another 2 month series, something that we looked at, something that we really dug into and picked apart. But I just feel as though the best way to go about this is to just deliver this message this morning and then let people take away what is in this morning's message and let it work in them over a 2 month period, wherever we go with, not just 2 months, but continuously working. And this morning I want to talk about wisdom. I want to look at wisdom. I want to look at what the Bible's got to say about wisdom and how we should respond in life with regards to that, because it's something we hear so often. We hear wisdom, we hear about wisdom, and I think sometimes we like to think we're wise when we're maybe not so wise, and I think sometimes we just don't get it. But let's dive into this. You ready to gain a bit more wisdom this morning?
Yeah.
That's good then. Excellent. Okay, we're going to start with some of the writings of the wisest man that ever lived, a guy called Solomon. He was one of the kings of Israel, King David, as in David and Goliath, the one who slayed the giant with a stone. Yes, that is a real story, and it is in the Bible, and it did actually happen. Well, he had a son, and his son, well, he had a few sons, but one of his sons in particular, the one who took the throne after David's death, was a guy named Solomon, and he got a great title, because he got the title of the wisest man who ever lived. You know, if I could have that on my headstone, I'd be really happy. Shane Budby, the wisest man that ever lived. Well, that's awesome. But Solomon he wrote lots of stuff down, which is great. A wise man writes his things down and writes his thoughts down. And he wrote a book called the Book of Proverbs, and it's just full of wisdom, like little one-liners. Like, it's the kind of stuff that you usually see somebody posts on Facebook and they don't realise it's from the Bible. But usually it's the true wisdom of God. And we kind of, those that are aware of the story of Solomon would know that he came to the throne of Israel at a young age after David had died, and he was young. And God appeared to him in a dream, and kind of, they reckon that he was maybe under 20 when he came to the throne. And God did something which most of us would probably be really scared about doing. He came to somebody under the age of 20 and said, "What would you like? Because I'll give you anything." Imagine saying that to your kids. I was taking Elijah around Toys R Us yesterday. I'm not sure I would have got a wise response in saying, "You can have anything you want." I kind of wanted somebody to come and ask me that, especially in the Lego section. It was like, they have everything. This is so good. This is so good. There's so much Lego in this place. I want all this stuff. But nobody came and nobody did that, because that wouldn't be wise. Although I did get a leaflet where you can register and win a trolley dash at your local Toys R Us. So if I won that, I would just be straight to the Lego aisle. One, it's practically the most expensive stuff in there, and it was like, oh, that'd be so cool, but that's not happened yet. But that'd be equivalent. It's like, you know, you get a trolley dash in Toys R Us. And I wouldn't take Elijah because he'd slow me down. It'd just be like, just like, we're going in. So yeah, and I used to love Supermarket Sweep as well. Anybody remember that game show? It was the kind of thing you watched when you're off school ill. Like, it was on in the daytime, wasn't it? Going for gold and Supermarket Sweep. Showing my age now. Okay, Proverbs 2:6. This is when Solomon is God's already come to him and said, "What do you want?" And Solomon gave a really wise answer. "God, give me the wisdom to govern your people." He asked for wisdom, and then he kind of became this really wise guy. God granted him the wisdom along with a load of other stuff, and he jotted down some of that wisdom in his writings. And the book of Proverbs 2:6 says this: "The Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." The Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Okay, so wisdom is a great place and a great benchmark to start any decision. And I'm going to unpack this a little bit today, because what I want to look at today is asking ourselves a question that is going to help our decision making process. Because so often when we're making a decision, we ask the wrong question. We ask the wrong question about how we make that decision. And what I want to look at today is this: what is the wise thing to do That's a good question. What is the wise thing to do based on my past experience, my current situation, and my future hopes and dreams? Because every decision that we make, some way, is going to be informed by our past experience, the current situation that we're in, and where we want to be in the future. And that is a... I could finish there and say, just go off. Make sure you ask that question all the time whenever you're going to make a decision. But I want to unpack it a little bit for us today, because there's more in this that we can draw out. So often, we don't ask, what's the wise thing to do? We ask, what's the right thing to do? What is the right thing to do? We ask the wrong question. What is the right thing to do? And so often, when we're not asking what's the wise thing to do, most failures that we get to are a collection of unwise choices that lead to one bad one. All along the journey, we've been asking, what is the right thing to do? It wasn't necessarily the wise thing. What is the right thing to do? What is the right thing to do? What is the right thing to do? And eventually, we find ourselves in a situation where the ultimate decision ends up being a really bad one, because we've not asked, what's the wise thing to do? Based on my past experience, based on my current situation, and based on where I want to be and where God wants me to be in the future, what should I do? What is the wise thing to do? So often we ask that question and we justify it like this. We justify our answer or our actions by saying, but I'm not doing anything wrong. Our line and our test to make the decision doesn't ask what's the wise thing. It says what's the right thing, because if it's the right thing, then I'm not doing anything wrong. And we justify it by saying, well, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with the decision I've made. Even in the Bible, it doesn't say anything in the Bible about this decision being wrong. So therefore, it must be right. But is it necessarily wise? Are you still with me here? Are you kind of with me? I've got a lot to kind of bring out this morning. So, for example, I'm not doing anything wrong. So let's look at it, for example, take a story of a married male guy who has a family, who works with a single attractive female. There is nothing wrong with that guy asking his female co-worker out for a working lunch. There's nothing wrong with it, is there? Everybody's thinking there's alarm bells. But there's nothing wrong with it, no. We've got some work we need to do. We've got some stuff we need to sort out. We've got something we need to get together, and we kind of haven't got time to break for lunch, so let's go and have lunch somewhere and do it there. Okay, so nothing wrong. Hasn't broken any moral boundaries, hasn't done anything wrong, gone and eat lunch, done work, perfectly fine. Is it wise? No, it's not wise. We all know that. It's not wise. But you start the ball rolling, so it's like, well, there's nothing wrong with it. They can justify it, there's nothing wrong. I'm just having lunch with a co-worker. We've got some work to do, so let's coincide it when you go. But then, for example, the next time comes around, and the same people are working a bit later, and they're working overtime, and they need to get some tea. So they think, well, you know what? We've done lunch, so there's nothing wrong with co-workers going out and having tea together, getting an evening meal and discussing work while we're there. Now, at this meal, it's kind of like, for example, the woman might think, well, to keep it safe, because he's a married guy, I'll ask him about his family. But things are not going so well at home, so it opens up a whole new intimacy level and a whole new conversation about not just work, but something else. And they go over the intimacy line unknowingly, and so on, and so on, and so on. And haven't done anything wrong. He gives the woman a lift home after work. Walks to the door, says goodbye, nothing wrong. But doesn't tell his wife he's done it when he gets home, because he doesn't think he needs to, because he hasn't done anything wrong. He's not done anything wise either. And then another night, work late, dropped him off, invites him in, and the rest is history. Nobody's done anything wrong up until that final decision. If we could look in the Bible and say, well, there's nothing there, they've not kissed, they've not slept together, they've not done anything wrong, they've eaten together, they've chatted, they've maybe crossed a few boundaries that are not very good. But was it wise? No. So we can justify our decisions all day by saying it's okay because it's not wrong, but doesn't make it wise. You get the difference here? You see the difference in recognizing, okay, what's the wise thing, what's the wrong thing? And for sometimes for us, we draw the moral line and get so close to it that we're so close to crossing it. We find where's the point of saying okay, where's the line between right and wrong? And if that's the line, then that is where I'm going to set up my camp. Because we're always going to want to get as close to the line as possible, aren't we? We're always going to want to break as much as we possibly can. Come on, we're all human here. Is it just me? No, so we set our line at a certain point. We say, there's the line between right and wrong. So therefore, I'm going to set up camp and cuddle as close as possible to that line and get away with as much as possible as I possibly can. And nobody can say to me, you've done something wrong, because I haven't, because I'm in the right. Because it's not necessarily the wrong decision. It's not necessarily the wise decision. It's at that point where we get to. And wisdom draws a line with a greater margin. Wisdom would say, okay, well, there's the right line between right and wrong. So I'm going to set up my line over here. I'm going to give myself a bit of wisdom margin and saying, okay, well, if I'm over here and I make the decision wrong, I'm stepping into doing what is wrong. If I'm over here and my line for wisdom is over here and I make a step, it's like, ah, never mind, but I'm still over here. I'm still not in the line of wrong. I haven't crossed over into that place. It draws it further away, because the problem starts with the circle. If we're over here by the line of what's right and wrong and not necessarily what's wise, if we've set our benchmark and our litmus test is here, we step into this area and it's like, okay, well, I've done something wrong. Then we start to ask ourselves the next question, well, how much of this can I get away with before the consequences get too bad? You know, you all laugh because we've all probably been there. It's like, oh, well, I've now done it and kind of got away with it. So how much of this can I do without damaging myself or anybody else or getting in trouble? We see it with kids all the time, don't we? Like, that little bit too far. Don't stand on the fireplace. I'm going to put my toe on the fireplace. Don't touch the things next to the fireplace. Staring you in the eye and goes down. You're still touching the thing. We think it's just kids, but sometimes for us as adults, when we're not asking what's the wise thing to do, we fall exactly into that place. We cross that line. We find ourselves, we've crossed the line. Okay, well, I've crossed the line now, so how much of this can I get away with without, one, anybody finding out, anybody getting hurt, or me getting hurt? And when we start to look at it in that way, we start to think, oh, yeah, that's a bit different to what I'm used to. That's a bit different to maybe how I've made my decisions, because I've justified everything I've done, even with Scripture. And can bring a Scripture out. You can always make Scripture work in your favour, just to say that. We can misuse the Scriptures in the Bible to work in our favour. I've seen people do it, like bring something, it's like, yeah, but you're kind of speaking that a bit out of context, okay? We can make anything work in our favour. We can do all this. But when we start to ask what's the wise thing to do, it shifts our process and our thinking in how we make decisions. Because we can't just have a line which says what's the wrong and right here. Because the wrong and right is always going to be a challenge. Our line leaves us no margin. If our decision process is what's the right thing, then we're always one step away from the wrong thing. If our decision process is what's the wise thing, we're right over here. We're right over here. We flee from those things. The Bible talks about fleeing from impurity. Fleeing is like dropping and bolting and going, okay? Like Joseph, we hear the story of Joseph in the Bible, the one with the technicolored dream coat, sold by his brothers, became a slave, was working in a house, and the house owner's wife came and made a pass at him, and it says that he fled from the place. He ran from impurity. He made a wise decision. He fled. And sometimes we have to flee, and to flee is to just bolt in the other direction. A bit like when you make that decision to step into a garden and there's the big bull mastiff staring at you. And there's that split second of the dog looks at you, you look at the dog, and you think, okay. And then you bolt. It's like, you're out of there. You flee. And the Bible tells us to flee from impurity. And it's not just about impurity like the story I shared and about moral failure in that way. It's about decision making as a whole. I want to flee not only from what is the right decision, I want to flee right the way over here to what is the wise thing to do. Is this the wise thing to do for me, based on my past experience, my current situation, and my future hopes and dreams? And each and every single one of us is going to have a different line as to where our decision of what the wise thing to do is. Some people are going to be able to deal with more than others, based on their past experience. So somebody that's had a particular addiction, you know, they're not, you know, their decision as to what the wise thing to do is, if an alcoholic is wise, it's fine for me to go and sit in a bar. I don't have a drink problem. I can go and sit at the bar and not have a drink. I can just have water. I can go on stag do's and just drink and not be bothered. It doesn't bother me. So it's perfectly fine. It's a wise decision for me to go, and it's not an issue for me to be there. For a recovering alcoholic to go and sit at a bar and say, well, it's not, don't worry because I'm not going to drink, based on his past experience, is it the wise thing to do? It's not, is it? And so we've got to gauge for ourselves, based on my past experience, somebody that's had an addiction to looking at stuff online that they shouldn't. Is it a wise thing to do to sit in a room on your own at night when everybody's in bed with a computer connected to the internet? It says flee from impurity. Flee from impurity. The wise decision would be, in fact, I don't want that in my bedroom, or even to the point, I don't want it in my house. I heard a great testimony of a well-known minister that was talking about how he didn't have a TV in his house till he was 30 when he got married. His parents bought him a TV unit, but there was no TV in it. Because he'd said, the wise decision for me was to think, I don't want a TV in my house, and everything that TV can pump into my house. It's far easier for me to resist the temptation of buying a TV than it is to resist the temptation of what that TV is going to bring into my home. Because he lived on his own, and he knew it wasn't a wise decision. That's wise, isn't it? That is a wise decision. And we hear these wise decisions that people make, of people setting the boundaries. And for some of us, we might look at somebody else and think, well, that's a bit extreme. That boundary is a bit extreme. That person doesn't do this. And it's like, you can't question the boundaries somebody's put in place. And you shouldn't question the boundaries, because you don't know sometimes the background behind that particular person. You don't know why that particular person doesn't want to have a glass of champagne at a toast during a wedding. You don't know why that person doesn't want to watch that particular film, because it might start to trigger things off in their head. You don't want to know. You don't need to know those things, nor should we push people to say, well, what's the matter with you? We should just accept the fact that, okay, well, this is where they've set their boundary and their line, and this is where they're sticking. And in some ways, we should even applaud that and champion that and say, you know, I take my hat off to you that that's where you've set your moral standard, or that's where you've set your line. And sometimes people might not even realise that it's a wisdom line, but it is. Based on my past experience, my wise choice is, I'm not doing that. Based on my current situation. So here we find, okay, my salary isn't necessarily as big as it maybe was in the past. That's not for me personally, I'm just saying that. But, you know, you might find yourself in a situation where we don't have as much income coming into our house at the moment. So our current situation would say the wise thing to do is we maybe need to let some of these things go. Sky TV has to go. Maybe we have to get a better internet package. Maybe we need to just change a few things. We can't just be, because based on our current situation, the wise thing to do is to say, I'm not in a position to be able to do what I was doing. Something needs to shift and change. I need to change and make a wise decision based on this. Based on my future hopes and dreams, where do you want to be? Because the decisions that you're making today ultimately are going to inform where you're going to be tomorrow, and then the next year, the next few years, or whatever. Are the decisions you're making wise based on your call? Are the decisions you're making wise based on where you want to be? Are you making decisions to put things in place to say, okay, this is what I know God wants me to be, and I know that this is what my future hopes and dreams are. So today I want to make decisions that are going to inform that. Do I need to make a wise decision to ensure that I'm investing correctly? To ensure that when I get to that point, I've got what I need? Do I need to be investing financially? Do I need to be investing into a particular training or whatever that might be? And as we work in that, and as we work in those things, we're ultimately going to be affecting, you know, if you're wanting to get married in the future, you know, are you making wise decisions now based on that marriage? He's not here, so I can't embarrass him, but Josh is just turned 20, and I watched a young guy making wise decisions about where he wants to be in his future hopes and dreams. So it's great because he's not here, so I can just totally embarrass him. So he'll be embarrassed when he listens to this. I watch a young man who puts his dependency in God and knows what it is to recognise, okay, well, I know one day this is where I want to be. So therefore, the decisions I'm going to make now, I need to ensure that I'm investing into where I want to be. So he's got a great ability to learn and learn from people and ask questions. And I love that in a person that is saying, okay, well, I recognize I can get some help here. And he'll sit there at lunchtime and we'll be talking about different stuff. And he'll be just taking all this stuff in. And Charlene will often say, this is all good training for you for when you get married, or this is all good training for you for when you get... But he takes it all in and he asks questions. He's like, yeah, I'm taking it all in. He studies stuff, he looks into stuff, he works in... And he does all the things that are a great preparation for his future hopes and dreams. So I can honestly say that somebody, someday, is going to get a really good, godly man as their husband. Because I see the wise choices that he's making today to invest into his future. Which is an amazing thing to see in such a young age. I wish I was operating in that level of wisdom when I was 20 years old. I'm operating it now, but and I'm sure a lot of us can look back and think, man, if only I'd have asked what the wise thing to do was. You just think to yourself for a second, how many decisions and how many failures and how many issues and how many things could you have avoided had you have asked what's the wise thing to do here, as opposed to what's the right thing to do here. Because there is a massive difference. I can look back and think, oh man, that was a really unwise decision. But it was right. There was nothing wrong with it. It just wasn't wise. And then wisdom, there's a journey of wisdom. And wisdom isn't just something that God clicks his fingers and you gain wisdom. And you have wisdom for everything. Even Solomon had great counselors. And recognized that he was able to go to those people. So next one, wisdom seeks help and accepts this particular statement. I know what I don't know, and I'm not afraid to ask. Wisdom seeks help and accepts the fact that I know what I don't know, and I'm not afraid to ask. I think sometimes we think that wisdom is knowing everything, and that's being a fool. The Bible describes somebody that doesn't operate in wisdom being a fool. Not being foolish, but being a fool. We're a fool when we think we know it all, because we don't. Let's check out what the wisest man on earth had to say about this. Proverbs 15:22. Here we have Solomon again, giving some great input. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. That's the wisest guy that ever lived. So he recognises, okay, I don't know everything. I'm going to tell you now, everybody in this room, you do not know everything. Sorry to kind of maybe burst your bubble a bit there. But you don't know everything. You do not know everything. Even Solomon, the wisest guy that ever lived, needed wise counsel. He needed those people around him. And for us, if we want to know what the wise thing to do sometimes is, we need to recognise, I just don't know. Don't start mumbling and trying to come up with an answer or trying to middle your way through. The great thing is recognizing, and this is a big secret for any wise person, I don't know. And I'm not so proud as to admit that I don't know. In fact, I'm wise enough to recognize I'm going to go to somebody that does. That is wisdom. Wisdom isn't just knowing the answer. Wisdom is recognizing you don't know the answer and going to somebody that does. Whether it's a big decision, whether it's a work decision, whether it's a relationship decision, all these things, it's about saying, okay, well, I don't know what I'm doing here. I just don't have an answer. Now you have a choice. You either make something up and make it sound really good and like you do know what you're on about, or you think, you know what, I just don't know. And Solomon was the wisest guy that ever lived, and he kind of recognized that he needed to go and find counsel. So I'm going to do that as well. So when we're making these decisions, like, what's the wise thing to do based on my past experience, my current situation, my future hopes and dreams? Sometimes we need to go to somebody and say, actually, can you help me out a bit here? So I'm privileged, and I thank God a lot of the time for the wise counsel around me in my life. First of all, my wife is a great wise counsel. The Bible describes wisdom as a she, so there you go. It does. When Solomon refers to wisdom, he refers to a she. Wisdom, she builds the house. So, you know, that's it. There you go. But wisdom and my leadership team, Faye and Steve, great wise counsel. I can sit there together with them, and I don't have to always think, well, I'm the leader of the church, so I've got to know everything. And believe me, I've maybe fought that in the past. Think, well, as a leader, you've got to know everything. But I don't know everything. And I had to recognise, okay, I need these guys alongside me. And then going up to that next level, I'm thankful for the great counsel that I have outside of the church. People that are just that bit further down the line from me. I've got just a small group of experienced, seasoned leaders that I can contact or go and see occasionally and just go and chat through some stuff because I recognise I don't know everything. I need to go and see some of these guys and say, look, can we just have a coffee, have a sit down or spend the day together? And we can just look at some of this stuff. And I just want to draw off the wisdom that you've got because I recognise that this is something that you probably do know, but I don't know. And I need your help in making the wise decision. And, you know, we don't have to seek advice from people to know what the right thing to do is. Our conscience is going to tell us that. The law can tell us that. The Bible can tell us that, can tell us what the right thing to do is. But sometimes we need to go to other people to find out what the wise thing to do is. What is the wise thing here? Because sometimes people can see what we can't see. Sometimes we just blind ourselves to certain things. And the amount of times that people have given me wisdom about something which I can't see and helped me open up, and I come away from that particular meeting with somebody, I'm like, man, how could I have not seen that? That seems so blatantly obvious, but they just knew the right wise questions to ask, the right direction to take the conversation in, because they're wise, because these people have also recognised they don't know everything and seek wise counsel for themselves, and are able to just put those questions in where you come away thinking, oh yeah, I never saw that, which is why we need that wise counsel, because sometimes we blind ourselves to the situation and we can't sometimes recognise that based on my past experience, should I really be doing this? Based on my past experience, should I be going into this relationship? Because sometimes our emotions and our feelings lead us into something. And everybody else is saying, well, just think about your past experience. Just have a think about it. It's like, no. Honestly, this is right. This is perfect. Because I can guarantee that none of us, again, we don't know everything. And none of us in this room are the exception. Okay? I can't remember which film it is, but there's one of the women in one particular chick flick film where she's kind of like saying, but we're the exception. And he's like, you're not the exception. There is no exception. The sooner we believe that and accept that, the much easier our decision making is, and the much easier we're trying to find our life will be, because we're not the exception. You're not the exception. We all need godly wisdom. We all need counsel, we all need direction, and we all need help, whether it's relationship, whether it's work, whether it's church, whether it's family. We've got to find direction from somebody, you know. With regards to family situations and parenting, I praise God for Danny Silk at Bethel Church and his parenting stuff. You know, the amount of times that has saved me from, like, doing something silly and just losing it and, like, what's the matter with you? You know, I still lose it sometimes, but it's caused me to not do it as often as I could. So I praise God for that multitude of wisdom. Me and Sam could have quite easily made a decision and think we know everything about parenting, but we don't. We don't know everything. We're still learning, and we need the help of somebody that has this wisdom and ability to communicate in a way that says, you know what, this is actually a good way to do it. And we all need that, whether it's from, it could come from books, it could come from things, but people themselves, you've got to have people that you connect with, that you go to and say, I'm thinking about this, what do you think? And then be ready to accept it. Be ready to accept the wisdom that the people give. Because I think sometimes we like to tick the box and say we're going to go and seek wisdom, but we've already made our decision. A bit like saying, going and asking for wisdom, should I buy this car with the keys already in your back pocket? And the person kind of says, probably not a wise decision based on your past experience or your current situation. But, oh, well, a bit late for that now. You know what I mean? So when we go and see these people, they help us see something. Wise counsel opens up and helps us see something that we can't see. And the amount of times that I've been able to go and sit with these particular leaders and these particular people with something that I just feel completely blocked and my vision cannot see beyond a certain point. And I come away and they've opened up this whole level of wisdom. Think, wow, okay, some good wisdom there. But I've still got a choice of whether I operate in it or not. I can still say, oh, thanks for your help, but I'm going to do it this way anyway. Just, you know, it's not the point, is it? Okay, next. And most importantly, wisdom seeks the guidance and counsel from Father God, the one who knows all. And that's the ultimate one, really. Seeking wisdom of Father God. And again, going back to what Solomon's got to say on the matter, Proverbs 9:10 says this: "Fear the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment." The fear of the Lord. So just to sum that up there, that's not talking about being really petrified and scared of God to the point that we don't do anything. The fear of the Lord here is talking about a reverence of God, an honour for God, a recognition of God as Father, God, just having a reverence of God for who he is. And again, Solomon recognised, okay, so to have a really good connection with God is not only wise, it's the foundation of wisdom. How good is that? Again, it's another one of these things where we think, well, it's good to have God, and it helps us make decisions. It's not just that God makes you wise. Knowing God and knowing his ways is the very start and foundation of wisdom. There is no true wisdom without that foundation in place. So some of these wisest thinkers in the world, some of these people that think they're wise and think that they're bringing wisdom and think that what they're saying is good and think that what they're writing and what they're bringing on TV shows is good, but without God, none of it is wise. Because without that foundation, the building cannot stand. Wisdom cannot stand without the foundation of knowing God. It all starts with God. Why? Because he knows everything. He created you. He created the earth. He created everything. He understands the systems in which we are living in. He understands the system of life and how it is. How great is that? We can try and do things in our own strength. We can all step into a situation where we step in and we say, okay, God, I can do this. But we can't without him. I can try and defend myself in court, but I'm going to be a lot better with a lawyer that understands law, that knows how to cross-reference a witness, that knows all those dynamics. And I need God to be the one that teaches me how to live wisely. So to wrap it up then, so we've got all those things. What's the wise thing to do? There's a little few tips in there. But asking yourself this question, what's the wise thing to do based on my past experience, my current situation, and my future hopes and dreams? Amen.